today on Real Radio.
Jesus says, because I'm risen, I have given you all authority over demons, over angels, over all that is evil. Listen, the Bible says, he who is within you is greater than he that is in the world. Think of that.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter with a message called Look What Jesus Christ Did, Part 2. The Apostle Peter was a disciple of Christ, of course, and he later on became the leader of the first church. Now, Peter's approach to Christianity was to love the way Jesus loves, to seek peace and to pursue it, and that our godly convictions are to be expressed with compassion and respect. In part one, we saw how simply glancing through Scripture really is not enough. Christ followers need to move past the things that make us uncomfortable, and we got to dig deeper. Many will come to us with their version of who Jesus Christ is. Now, this is why the passion of the gospel must be proven and studied in our own hearts before we can shed his great light on others. We live in a dark and deceiving world, we really do. But Jesus, he is the light of the world, and he is the one true Messiah. So today, on day three of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that Satan is real, and Hades is also real. They're not just figments of someone's imagination. The Bible is clear that Satan is like a roaring lion, seeking those whom he can devour. In these last days, many will be deceived, and what we believe will determine our eternal destination. And now in his message called Look What Jesus Christ Did, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
When the words sons of God appear in the Old Testament, it's always speaking about angels. Angels, exclusively angels. Sons of God in the Old Testament are angels, says the Bible. Let's keep reading. Verse 3 says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever. So this is a judgment. For he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. How long did it take Noah to build the boat? 120 years. And there were giants on the earth in those days. You think something's a little weird going on here? Let's just keep reading. Let the Bible speak for itself. And also afterward. What does that mean? After the 120 years. There were giants before the flood, and there were giants after the flood. How come? When the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Does anybody know how many fingers and toes they had?
Six.
How did you know that? It's in the Bible. It says that these things had six fingers and six toes on each hand and foot. The Bible says that they were able to throw a spear the weight of a weaver's beam. So what's that? 135-pound spear. They threw it. That was their spears. Some of you have been with us to Gamla, where Israel archaeologists have unearthed sarcophagus that are 10 feet long to house the bodies. Many of them. So what are you saying? Let's just keep reading. It is weird. Would you admit this is weird?
Yeah.
Now you see why pastors say, and so we'll just keep right into 1 Peter chapter 4. And so, where was I? Anybody following?
Five.
So the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry. He regretted. He was mournful that he had made mankind on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things, birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace. It's the first time grace is found in your Bible, right there. In the eyes of the Lord. Hang on to your seats. Verse 9. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man. See the word perfect? Perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. The word perfect here is tamim. And the Hebrew word tamim means Noah was intact. The word means untainted. The word in Hebrew means entire. The word means unmixed. The word means no defects. Isn't it weird? You've got a story in the book of Genesis that speaks about the sons of God looking and seeing the daughters of men, and they seize them to be sexual partners. And you say, well, that could be anything. It could be that the sons of God were Seth's, the line of Seth, the godly guys. That's what it means, right? That's what it means. Yes, some scholars say that. Here's the problem. Since when, listen, since when does a non-believer and a believer get together and have sex and they create giants? Is that how you get the Lakers? You get non-believers and believers together and you create giants? Is that how we have a Shaquille O'Neal? So you've got to stop and say, this is something weird. Now, by the way, listen, if you think I'm crazy, then you're going to have to also say that Augustine's crazy. St. Augustine believed this. Francis of Assisi, the early church fathers understood this. The Jews, rabbis teach this. You say, no, it's not possible, because you're suggesting that a spirit being would have intercourse with a human. Get ready to write this down. You won't see it on the screen. Go study the ancient doctrines in early Christianity and Babylonianism of what is called incubus and succubus. It's not a band. It's not a joke. If you know anyone who's involved in Satanism, occult worship, they will tell you the definition of those words. You say, Pastor, if you're suggesting that a fallen angel can have relationships with a human being, that's just too far for me. Well, first of all, I agree it's too far. And by the way, God is going to say in a moment, that's too far. That's the kind of sin that's gone too far. He's going to say that in a moment if I hurry up. Have you ever seen the movie what are those movies? Like Damien? By the way, don't watch them. The whole concept. Oh, he thank you, The Omen. Lord bless our brother, protect our brother, keep him safe. No, The Omen. She says, oh, it's just a movie. Mm-hmm, sure, I understand that. It's just a movie. Interesting. If you just change the scenarios and turn off the Hollywood lights, the Bible talks about someone who's coming, who's the son of Satan. It's called the Antichrist. Right. By the way, if you know anything about Semiramis and Tammuz and a guy by the name of Nimrod in your Bible, The movie, old movie, it's comical now. It's just old, but it was called Rosemary's Baby. Yeah. That's a creepy movie. What's it about? Satan cohabitating with a human and producing offspring to contaminate the world. The Bible tells us that Noah was not contaminated, so thus he found grace in the sight of God. Isn't it interesting that God washed away in judgment the entire antediluvian pre-Noah world and spared only Noah and his family, all eight of them together? You say, man, this is weird. And listen, you might want to go to some other church the next few weeks. Jude chapter 1, verse 7. Jude 1, verse 7 says, but I want to remind you, though you once knew this. Isn't that interesting? What a statement. I want to remind you of something. You guys already knew it. Listen to this. You guys knew this. You forgot it. Let me remind you. This is common knowledge. Oh my goodness, watch this. Yeah, everybody knows this. Geico, 15 minutes, 15%, and this. What is it? That the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, hello, but left their own dwelling, their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day, as or like Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after, the word is unsanctioned, inappropriate flesh. He has set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So what's God saying? All right, Egypt, my story to all of you, did I not destroy Egypt to deliver my people? The angels that didn't keep their proper domain, they went from one realm, it's to go from one realm to another realm. They were in the spirit realm and they materialized in the physical realm. It's just like what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. He equates the two. Listen, what I'm about to say is not politically correct. Tough. It's 1,000% biblical. Listen, God says when a spirit being goes after a human, that's strange flesh. Unsanctioned Genesis chapter 6 weirdness. When he says unsanctioned flesh, he speaks the same thing of what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. This flesh is not to do that with that flesh. Only this flesh is to do this with this flesh. And God cites it in the Bible as strange flesh. Jesus said that he's going to come back when the age is as it was in the days of Noah. Critical. Remarkable. Something happened. So, Jack, what does this mean? Some scholars believe that the spirits that Jesus announced his proclamation to in Hades were the spirits of those who were half angelic and half human hybrids, these giants, these men of renown, these six-fingered, six-toed individuals that the Bible speaks about, that he would have proclaimed to them. Which is interesting because when you take the course of biblical demonology, things start to come together. An angel appears and disappears. Boy, I'm giving you way too much information. An angel can appear and disappear, both fallen angel and holy angel. Remember, the Bible says that Satan deceived one-third of the heavenly angelic host and led them in his rebellion. Angels, the Bible, many times in the Bible, angels appear and angels disappear. Never is that said about demons. Demons do not just appear and disappear. Demons have to have people, animals, or things. That's why Paul the Apostle said to the Corinthians, don't you know that when you bow down and pray to a statue, you're praying to demons? It's not the statue. They have to inhabit things. Do you remember when Jesus came on the... Many of us have been there. Remember we got out of the boat and we went just to the right, Gadarenes? And Jesus was there and the Bible tells us that there was a man demon-possessed. And he said, don't cast us the legions. Don't cast the demons out of us. And Jesus rebuked the demons out of the man. And where did they go? Into the pigs. And ran down the cliff into the sea. Demons must look for things. Demons must look for what the trade calls entries. By the way, this whole thing, we could go on and on this one. Entries, demonic manifestations, strange things. Those spirits may just well be, watch this, and we'll have to end. I can't believe this. I'm in so much trouble. When a human dies, as a believer or a non-believer, they go into the spirit realm. Now, as a believer, you go be with Jesus. As a non-believer, you go to Hades over here, you guys. But what happens when a giant dies? What happens when these biblical hybrids die? They're not human, and they're not... Many, and I agree with this, many believe that those who die or died, they're demon spirits. They're not human or not angelic. There's something in between. The Bible warns us in the last days in Daniel chapter 2 that during the tribulation period, it tells you of a time, and it simply says in Daniel 2:42 and 2:43, it says that out of a kingdom will arise 10 strong, but 5 are stronger than the 10. And just like iron cannot mix with clay, so they shall mingle with the seed of men. The seed is sperm of men. Could it be that the last day Antichrist creation is some sort of a freakish Rosemary baby omen, kind of a weirdo world that we're heading toward? That's a study for some other time. But Peter is telling us today that there's some strange thing that took place, that Jesus addressed spirits that were bound, and Jesus addressed spirits that he took captive and led into heaven. We'll end with this. I find it fascinating that the exact same Greek language is exactly what is used when, imagine now, you are a Roman general and you have conquered the realm of warfare that you were dispatched to. You would have destroyed those who are antagonistic to the kingdom, to the empire, and you would have flushed out those who would be for the empire. Watch this. And this happened for nearly 500 years in Rome, in Italy. The general would come riding in first. By the way, anybody know what kind of horse? He'd have to get off his horse before he got to Rome. He had to get off his black horse and get on a what color horse? A white horse. He would come into Rome, and behind him were his troops, and then there was a break in the parade, and then it was all of those who are now coming into Rome to be captive members of the Roman Empire. And then behind them are more of his troops. In this entourage, isn't it interesting that the Bible paints the same picture that when Jesus took those saints out of Hades, he led them like a general under his command into heaven. And so today, think of it. When someone dies without Christ today, they go to this Hades, this place that this man was tormented in. The righteous, those who trust Christ today, when they die, they go straight to the presence of Almighty God in heaven above. This location now vacated, empty. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, there'll be a day, Revelation chapter 20, when all of these will stand before the judgment seat of Almighty God, the great white throne judgment. All of this taught to the church throughout millennia. Our kids, not your kids, there are kids enamored with zombies. Satanism in America is rising. Initiation rites of a person being alone in a seductive setting and waiting for the familiar visitation. And I can't talk about what goes on in that. There's other young ears in here. How can these things be? Because it's real. Glory be to God. Jesus says, because I'm risen, I have given you all authority over demons, over angels, over all that is evil. Listen, the Bible says, he who is within you is greater than he that is in the world. Think of that. And all of a sudden, we end here. You can stand. We're all done. All of a sudden, listen. We have a little bit healthier respect of the passage in Ephesians and Corinthians where it tells us that we wrestle not against things of flesh and blood. How many of you are Christians? Raise your hand. Did you know today you're going to battle against things that are not human? You say, what? I'm a Christian. I've never heard that. Well, if you read your Bible, it will tell you that we wrestle against demonic powers and things that are not of this world. And most of it is in thought life. You ever get an urge? You ever get a thought? You ever think, what? You're like, oh, you know what? Let's get some, you know, let's get some food and let's take a walk. And then this thought goes, what? The Bible says those are demonic fiery darts that are shot from the wicked one. You see, well, come back next week if you want to. Lord, thank you for your word. God, I ask you to forgive me for not thinking more often of the fact that we traffic in this physical world, walking right through spiritual entities all around us all the time. Your Bible even tells us that we need to be careful how we treat strangers because we could inadvertently be treating an angel. So, Father, make us wise and discerning. Lord, I pray for those who are visiting today. They're probably freaked out. Help them. Lord, may they sense the love of Jesus in this place and love from one another. May they realize or may they understand why I think I better read my Bible. Yep. Thank you for Jesus, Lord. And so, Father, this week we give to you. We cast before you with a happy heart. So, Lord, as I pray for this church, may the Lord bless you and keep you. And may the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you as a people, as a family, as a church. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. God bless you as we close in this song.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In his message called Look What Jesus Christ Did, Part 2. Thanks for joining us today. And you know, when we consider what Jesus did for us, it's nothing short of choosing between life and death. Look What Jesus Christ Did, Part 2. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter. It's a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, these are times when we feel like our lives are being shaken to the core. Peter and the first century church were shaken by the Romans. Today in the 21st century, we're also being shaken by the powers that be. Still, we have the advantage of New Testament knowledge and immediate access to help through technology. And that's why Pastor Jack really offers so many different ways to optimize our devotional time and our relationship with the Lord. Simply go to our website, jackhibbs.com. Once you're there, you'll find a lot of unique resources to stay informed, connected, and encouraged. You'll also be able to access our real-life mobile app for your smartphone or tablet. It's all there when you go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.